Amen. Thank you. What wondrous love is this? Oh, the wondrous love of God. If you'd like to open your Bible this morning, we will open and read in just a moment here from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 to begin with. But let me say for just a couple of moments, as we continue with the subject matter from last Sunday, upon the very fact from God's precious word that God gave His Son. Continue this morning, not only that God gave His Son, but the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, that He gave Himself. And that all of this is based upon and centered and founded from the very core, from the very center of the being of God. It is brought forth and manifested forth because of God's endless, boundless love. The love of God. As we quoted the verse of scripture from Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And certainly the Son of God was given by the Father. As we quoted John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. Now that verse teaches us that He gave His Son, but the expression right before teaches and tells us why. For God so loved. This is the reason that God gave Jesus. Because of love. What wondrous love is this? What wondrous love. So having said those few introductory thoughts, here in Ephesians chapter 5, as we begin with verse, I'd like to read verse 1 and verse 2. The apostle Paul, writing, of course, here to the church at Ephesus, he says, be ye therefore followers of God. Be followers of God as dear children. This is the way you're to be followers of God, as dear children. Notice that. He didn't just say as children, but he said as dear children. This is the expression of God's love. God loves His children. They are dear unto Him. When you think of those that are dear unto you, they are loved ones, be they family or friend, or brother or sister in Christ. They are dear, dear friends, dear family. Why? Because you love them. And this is what is being conveyed when he says, be ye their followers of God as dear children. God's love, God loves His children. And as God loves His children, then we should manifest as children of God. He goes on in to verse 2 and he ties that in and says, and walk in love. Act like dear children. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. The Father loves us. The Son loves us. The Holy Ghost loves us. The divine Holy Trinity loves the elect of God. Now, God doesn't love our sin. He doesn't love our faults and failures. But He loves us. We are the objects of His love, His people, His chosen, His bought, His redeemed are the loved of God. And now the admonition, the exhortation to God's children that they should walk in love. Walk like they are loved. Walk like they are loved of the Father. Walk like they are loved as the Son, because we are loved of God. You know, those that love you, those that manifest love towards you, you have a desire to walk pleasing to them. Your desire is toward them. Your companion, your desire is towards your companion, because they love you and they express kindness and they express concern and tenderness and mercy towards you. Therefore, you have that desire to be a blessing back unto them, to do things that please them, to do things that you know that they would appreciate and enjoy you doing for them. Well, this is the whole essence of this expression here. Walk. Walk. What is this embracing? Behavior. Behavior. When you see the scripture talking about our walk, it's talking about our behavior. It's talking about our conduct. It's talking about the way that we conduct and present ourselves, and the way that and the course that we take, and what we convey unto others. And here the emphasis is to walk in love. And we are able to do that because we love Him, because He first loved us. And we're able to manifest love because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And we know and understand that this was initially, that it was first done in regeneration. In regeneration, the love of God indwells, the love of God fills that cleaned out, set apart, sanctified place within the very core, the very being, the very soul of a child of God, one purposed from all eternity, embraced in the effectual, affectionate love of Almighty God. So the emphasis, the exhortation is for us to walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling Savior. Yeah. For God so loved that He gave. Jesus loves that He gave. That He gave Himself an offering and a sacrifice. There's the expression of Scripture that's found in the Hebrew letter in chapter 7, where there are several verses there. We could start in verse 17, but coming on down, verse 22 tells us, by so much. Notice this, by so much, for God so loved. Amen. See the words, by so much. What? the love of God, by the love of God. Jesus was made a surety. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Amen. Of a better covenant. Why? Because of love, because of God's love, because of Jesus' love. Amen. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Yes, he despised the shame, the cruel shame. But it was joy that was set before him. Why? Because he saw of the travail of his soul and was satisfied. Amen. He saw what the travailing of his soul was producing. What was it producing? It was producing victory. It was accomplishing the purpose of the triune God from all eternity to save his people from their sins. Amen. And this is why Jesus came, to save his people from their sins. The ones that God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. You know, those are certainly such sweet and wonderful thoughts to rejoice in. If not for the love of God, where would we be this morning? If not for the endless, boundless loving kindness. For it is with loving kindness, according to Jeremiah 31:3, that he hath drawn his people. Amen. That he has, amen, brought them from that state of dead and trespassing sin to alive in Christ Jesus. What was the motive? What was that moved God? Love. God's love. Amen. And because of God's love and the God giving his love in regeneration and shedding it abroad in our heart, then we have the capacity, we have the ability to love. Amen. Now we have hindrances and we have biases and we have prejudices and we have this flesh to contend with, and our love is not perfected. Our love is not mature. Amen. Like God's love is a perfect love, a mature love, a complete love. Amen. Oh, but one day ours will be the same as his. Thank God forevermore. Now that innate love that he has given and written in us is as perfect as God's love. Amen. For it is the same. Well, but far as the manifestation of it, far as us using it, far as us appropriating it, far as us working that love out, and always doing those good works of the Father, we don't do that as Jesus did. No, far from it. Yeah. Well, far from it. But we are enabled by his grace and mercy. So by much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. By so much. What is the by so much? God's love. God's love. For God so loved. How much did God love? He so loved. His love is sufficient. His love was enough. His love is enough. Amen. You don't have to worry about that. His love is enough to get every heir promised safely home to the glory world. His love is enough, amen, that he will never turn his back upon one object of his love. His love is enough that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our blessed Lord. Do we not rejoice in such wonderful biblical truths? Is our heart not enlarged and made to swell within our very sanctified soul? Amen. That very seed of affection. Oh, to taste a little bit of that endless, boundless love, that reaching love. For indeed it truly reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, it reaches every heir of promise. It flows backward all the way to Adam, and it flows forward to the last heir of promise conceived in this time world. Amen. Whereby they are embraced in the effectual love of God. We come on down to verse 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. This is how sufficient God's love is. Yes. It is sufficient to save his people to the uttermost. Amen. That come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. We could turn to Hebrews 4 and 14. We could turn to Ephesians 1 and 20 and talk about where he is sit down on the right hand of the Father. Amen. Where he intercedes, where he keeps covenant, where he is the mediator of that better covenant, where his mediatorship is now an intercessory ship, whereby before it was in the sense of a high priest that he offered himself unto the Father on the behalf of all that were accepted in Christ Jesus, accepted in the beloved, yeah, even before the world began. So he is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests do offer up sacrifice. He's done it once and for all. First for his own sins. That's what the Old Testament priest had to do. And then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. So he offered himself up. God gave his son. The son gave himself. He offered himself unto God with sacrifices, as Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2 tells us, with offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savior.
Yeah.
Now, the apostle teaches these disciples at Ephesus that based upon God giving his son, the son giving himself, and it's all predicated upon the love of the Trinity, that they are to be followers of God. Be, notice this verse starts out with be. Be ye therefore. That's in a manifested way. He's not telling them to get saved, to become a son of God. He's saying, be ye therefore followers. Be manifested children of God. How would they be manifested children of God? In following God as dear children. That's in the same sense as John chapter 1, where he says, he came into his own and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to be the sons of God, to show forth as sons of God. Oh, he didn't give them power to become initially. No, I tell you, God the Father purposed. He purposed children before the world began. Now, there were no children of God in actual existence, before the foundation of the world. I want you to hear that. I want you to understand what I'm saying. They were not actually in substance. They were not in actual being. Because before Genesis 1 and 1, there was nothing but God. Amen. Now, everything that God created is in time. Nothing was or will be created in eternity. Everything that's created is created in time. In the beginning of time is the beginning of the creation of God.
Yes.
God created the heaven and the earth.
Yes.
And all that He created is created in time. And we have the account of that creation. But there are no eternal children of God in substance. But they were eternal in God, though, as far as in God's mind, in God's purpose. That simply means eternal in the sense of no beginning. No beginning, because God has no beginning. The purpose of God has no beginning, because God's purpose is as old as God. So God purposed to save His children. And the provisions for that salvation were purposed before they were ever created, before Adam was ever created, and before Adam ever sinned. There was a remedy for sin before sin was ever actually committed. Think about that. There was a remedy. Who is the remedy? For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man. Now, men is plural. Man is singular. Because there's only one man. There's only one man. There are many men, male, female, in that. For there is one God and one mediator, one means, one medium. There's only one man, verily God, verily man, the Lord Jesus Christ. That could be Brother Job's daysman. Brother Job felt he needed a daysman. Brethren, I know we need a daysman. But we have the New Testament. Brother Job didn't have that. We've got the knowledge of the New Testament. We have the knowledge of the daysman.
Yeah.
Of one verily God, the Word made flesh. God made flesh and come to man and came down to men. Came down to His people. In that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this daysman, to lay one hand on God and one hand on God's people, God's purpose people.
Yeah.
Oh, because His people are His purpose people. His people are His redeemed people. His people are His born again people. Then therefore there is the ability to be sons of God, to shine forth, manifested as sons of God, men or women. Now, I want to go to Matthew chapter 5 and look at this point a little bit further. We're going to chase, I pray it's not just chasing, but we're going to run after this thought just a little bit. Here in Matthew chapter 5. And where I want to land is in verse 45. But you see, verse 45 is referencing everything that Jesus says from verse 3 through verse 44. Now, verse 1 tells us that Jesus sees the multitude. And that he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. Verse 2 tells us that he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. So this is why I say, starting with verse 3 through verse 44, you're about to have what verse 45 says. Mm-hmm. Now, I hope you remember a little bit of verse 3 through 44. I sure don't have time this morning to read all that. But you know, Jesus started out with blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. He says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. He tells them they're the salt. He tells them they're the light. He goes through all of these things. Tells them not to swear. Tells them that heaven is God's throne and that the earth is the Lord's footstool. Tells them that Jerusalem is the city of the great King. Tells them to let their nay be nay and their yea be yea. Comes on down through here. All of these things. And this brings you then to verse, let's just get 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now everything he said from verse 3 through verse 44, the first expression of verse 45 catches hold of it. That, it's all upon this right here, that ye may be. There it is. That ye may be the children of your Father. Now he's not telling them to do all of these things and pronounces these blessings upon them under these, with these beatitudes and all of this, verse 3 through verse 44, in order to become as far as initially, or to be born again, or to be brought from a state of dead in trespass and sin, or to all of a sudden to be made children of God. No, that's not what this word be means. That ye may be, once again, that ye may be manifested. That you may shine forth. That you may be declared openly. That you would be seen openly. That your walk would be conformative to what he's just said of verse 3 through verse 44. All right? That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Now, what did the Apostle Paul tell them? He said, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. He told them to walk in love. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Walk in love. Walk lovingly. Yeah. Walk loving. Right. As Christ has loved us. Christ loves you, brother. You're my brother and sister. Christ loves you. The Father loves you. Christ loves you. The Holy Ghost loves you. The Godhead loves you. And I am exhorted and admonished to be a child of God, a manifested child of God, by showing you in my walk, in my talk, in my habits, in my conformity here in this life, not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's why the apostle told them there in Romans chapter 12 and said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now that's being a manifested child of God, presenting your body a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. That's our reasonable service. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what Jesus said. All right? So back to verse 45 of Matthew 5. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh. Now, I want you to listen close to this. For. Or because. He maketh. Who? God. Maketh his sun. S-U-N. He's talking about the sun up in the sky now. He maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Now, even the wicked, even the unjust, the sun, the S-U-N sun, comes up in the morning and shines upon them. That's what this is saying. All right? Even they have and enjoy the temporal common graces of the blessings of God in nature. And in nature itself declares the handiwork of God and shows forth the praise of God. Of course, they miss the mark and they worship the creation rather than the creator. But what is the point, and why does he bring that in right there? When he says that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Now the wicked and the unjust, they are not accepted in the beloved. They have not been blessed with heavenly blessings. They have not been blessed with spiritual blessings in heavenly places. They are blessed with temporal blessings, temporal benefits. But the children of God, the beloved of the Father, we have been blessed with spiritual blessings. Therefore, amen, we should rise above and we should shine forth to the excellency, to the glory of the praise of the true and living God, and be manifested children of God in our walk, in our talk, and in our love, because he has blessed us beyond and abundantly and given us so much more than just the natural blessings. Now thank God for the natural blessings, because he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Thank God that the just get rain too. But he's teaching that all of God's creation of humanity enjoy the temporal blessings. But the reason that we are to be the children of your Father which is in heaven, the reason that we are to be ye followers of God as dear children is because we have been blessed so much above and beyond, that we have been blessed with spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That we have been chosen and treasured in Christ Jesus even before the foundation of the world. The wicked, the unjust, which are the same ones, they were not and have not and never will be blessed or chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. So I hope you see the difference and So from verse 3 through 44, then he says to those things, all of those things, giving direction, giving exhortation, giving admonition for conduct, for walk, and says that ye may be the children of your Father.
Yeah.
It doesn't, those things won't make you a child of God. If you're not a child of God in mind and purpose, even before the foundation of the world, they wouldn't do it, but you wouldn't be able to fulfill those anyway. You wouldn't be able to do those things. You wouldn't hunger and thirst after righteousness. You wouldn't be poor in spirit. The wicked live to be old and do wickedly. As old brother Job said, all the wicked are going to do is wickedness. And they're going to be judged for their wickedness, for their works of that wickedness. But that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. I want you to think about some expressions that are over in 1 John. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold. Now I think it was Elder Herring that told you, and it may have been the last time he stood before us. If not, it's been not too long ago, but nevertheless, when you see the word behold, that you are to look and give special attention to. Behold. Stop. Take notice. Behold. Take notice. Think about this. What's he saying to behold? You know, this behold is kind of like, it's also a thunder tone. Remember, we talked about nevertheless being a thunder tone. So is behold. Behold! What manner of love? The manner of love. The kind of love. The quality of love. What manner? What is the manner of God's love? Behold, what manner, M-A-N-N-E-R, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. It took for God so loved for us to be called the sons of God.
Yeah.
Now, for you to be called the sons of God, you had to be made the sons of God. Amen. First made in mind and purpose. Then effectually made as God's people come along in time as they are conceived. In time and come along in actual substance. That it's this manner of love, this special love, this endless, boundless love, this love that gets the job done.
Yeah.
Amen. God's love is not fickle. God's love is not wishy-washy. God's love is not here today and gone tomorrow and back again the next day and gone the next day. It's not like that. It's not like the tossing of the waves. It's not like the moving and changing and carrying of the wind. It's not like human emotions. And a lot of the times that people think is love when it's not love. It's another emotion. But this is love. And I tell you, charity is God's love in action. God's love is an active love. God's love moved him. It was real. It is real. It's genuine. And we know it is because of what God did. For God so loved that he gave. God's love so perfect, so mature, so complete, so full, so boundless, so endless. And it pleased God with
this affection.
Yeah.
With this tenderness, with this kindness, with this mercy. All of those components that make up the love of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God.
Yeah.
Oh, can you just picture, can you just think about sinful, depraved man, that Adamic nature, that corrupt, vile, wicked, cruel nature that man has, that we have by nature. That's what we are by nature. Oh, but you see, God's love, it moved beyond that. God didn't just see us in that Adamic nature. God just didn't see us in Adam as our federal head, as Adam in the actual practice and the actual employing and doing, the actual committing of that sin, which shows and brings about that activity. But God's love, that we should be called the sons of God. You know, when God, so many out here in quote unquote the religious world of Christendom want to talk about God looking down before his creation, but yet he looked down and he saw as though it was, in which he did. God did look down upon the children of men. But he wasn't looking to see who would choose him and who would not choose him.
No.
When God looked down, when God saw, he saw them all together filthy.
Yeah.
All at one time made. You see, the 100% of the human family was made 100% depraved, corrupt, vile, and wicked at the same time. You've heard me go through that lesson before from those different verses in Psalms. Amen. That teaches that lesson of all together. Amen. All together. Yes, all the human family all together, all at one time in Adam. Amen. Was all together. A-L-T. O-G-T-H-E-R. All together. Fully complete. 100%. Made corrupt and vile and wicked. But the manner of God's love hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not. The world that doesn't understand. There's a world that doesn't understand. There's a world that's not acquainted with. There's a world that is not affected by the love of God. In the sense, same sense as those that have been bestowed upon the love of God, the objects of God's love. That world knoweth us not. That world does not care for us. That world doesn't love us. That world hates us. That world, why? Jesus said, the world, it hadn't loved me. It doesn't love me. It won't love you. In the world, ye shall have persecution, you shall have tribulation, but in me you shall have peace. This is the same world that he has under consideration. This is the same order of arrangements. Amen. Of this world that is under consideration, because it knew him not. Didn't care to know him, didn't want to know him, wanted to kill him, wanted to crucify him. The same world that Cain was a member of.
Yeah.
And what did Cain want to do? He wanted to slay Abel. And I tell you, Cain has been wanting to, and when he had the opportunity to, he's been killing Abel ever since.
Yeah.
Ever since. That's that world. That's that world that is under consideration here. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not.
Right.
Now, listen, here in the fourth chapter, starting in verse 7, 1 John chapter 4, starting in 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. If we're able to love one another, it's because God loves us. We love him because he first loved us. We convey, we reflect that love back toward him, because he has given us that love, and we love one another. We love each other in the Lord Jesus Christ because of the love of God. This is how great that love is. Let us love one another. The old aged Apostle John tradition says that in his latter years, and at the church at Ephesus, where he returned to and was pastor, and well, and even after he was no longer pastor there because of the infirmities of age, like I said, as tradition, as Jewish history says. But that when he could not speak many paragraphs, when he couldn't preach like he used to, that he would basically say, little children, love one another. Little children, love one another. Little children, love one another. This is the same thing he wrote in his epistle. His message to the disciples of Christ, love one another.
Yeah.
This is the message here. Let us love one another. For God is of, for love is of God.
Amen.
And everyone that loveth, ETH, in a state of love, able to show forth evidence of love, is born of God and knoweth God. Now, that's an evidence statement. If you're able, from time to time, to feel tenderness and compassion and mercy and kindness toward another individual, it's evidence that you've been born of God.
Yeah.
That's what this verse is saying. I'm talking about true love. I'm not talking about some kind of fleshly, Adamic emotion and misconception of love.
Yeah.
But I'll stand upon what the text says. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. That's what the book says, brothers and sisters.
Right.
He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. And this was manifested. All right, here it comes again. We started out with this. We're going to end with it. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. What is this world? This is the created world. This is in the context here. This world is the created world. God sent his Son into the created world. He came down and actually walked on this earth that God created. That is the order of arrangements. Creation, natural creation. Christ walked on a dusty road. He drank wet water. You getting the picture?
Yeah.
Amen. He slept real sleep. He ate real food. All of this is the created world. God, because of God's love. Amen. The very, very God, but verily man. The Word made flesh, bowed, stooped, condescended, came down to this earth because God so loved. that he gave. Love will move you to give. To give of yourself. To give of your time. To give of your finance. To give whatever is needed for the benefit, for the help, for the cause of Christ, for the teaching of the Scripture. If you do it out of love, you do good works of faith out of love. Anybody that's got $1 million can give $1 million to some big hospital somewhere if they know that they're going to have a wing named after them. If that's the reason they're doing it. I'm not saying they all do it for that reason. But I tell you what, if it's for the right reason, they would give it and then never be a wing named after them. See, true love comes from the right motivation. True love comes from the right motivation. God was moved. God was motivated. God was stirred. Amen. Out of love. Genuine, real, complete, mature, perfected love. We can't get our mind around that. We can't comprehend that. We just can't hardly embrace that because we have so many restrictions here in this flesh world. Under this Adamic nature, we have so many biases and prejudices and hurdles to jump over. We can't quite fathom that. We by the Spirit of God can just get a little glimpse of it. Can just get a little understanding. Oh, but let me assure you that one day in the sweet by and by, when time is no more, when God is high and lifted up, and when the very Son of God stands before the throne of God with all of the children that God gave him, amen, we're going to praise him, and we'll praise him out of perfect love. We'll praise him out of perfect love, for all things will be perfected. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us.
Yeah.
And sent his Son.
Yeah.
There it is again. Love. That's what charity is. Love in action.
Right.
Love in action. Apostle Paul taught all of that lesson about charity. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Taught all that lesson on charity. It's love in action. That's what charity is. Love in action. God was and is charitable to his people. And how do we know that he is charitable? Because he gave. Because he gave. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to be the mercy seat, to be the substitute, to be the go-between, to be the medium, the mediator, to lay his hand on his Father and his hand on his people and be the perfect sacrifice and offering for the sins of his people. Beloved, if God so loved us, this is verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now, that ought there is just as strong as we make that ought, ye ought to wash one another's feet. We make that imperative. We make that a strong ought. In other words, you ought to do it. You don't leave it or take it. We ought also to love one another. God help us to do so.
Amen.
God help us to manifest love, the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts. To be affectionate, loving, kind, generous, patient, temperate toward those that we have connection and contact with and Do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. God bless you this morning is my prayer.
Amen.
And I want to thank the Lord for helping me with my voice and to be able to try to preach through this morning. Amen. I trust I preached. I feel good in my soul. Amen. Thank God. God bless you is my prayer. Let's stand together.